Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 75, The Way of Discipline Time. Today is December 5th, 2008.
Come today, young heart.
Hello and welcome to episode 75, The Way of Discipline Time. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's message was originally recorded March 24th, 1985. And when you listen to today's message, it is just as relevant today, if not more. The song you heard previously was Time Has Come Today. In Pastor Paul's message, he actually goes, cuckoo and tick-tock, tick-tock. In my brain, I'm thinking, oh, wait, I've heard a song. What song is that? So, I looked in my flower power, Age of Aquarius. There it is. Time Has Come Today. What a perfect song. The Chambers Brothers. You know, actually, listening to that song, I watched a movie earlier this week. And it had, it was about a homeless man. And who played that part was Samuel Jackson, one of my favorite. You know, he did a good job in that role and everything. But when I heard this song, I was thinking of what he looked like in that movie and putting like his face with this song, with this everything. So it just really hit me. The message is really good. I know you're going to get a lot out of it. Let me go on with a few quick announcements and then we'll get right into the message. Pastor Paul's mission, you know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikrokota Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota, how do you like that? Minnesota. Okay. If you need food and you live in Minnesota, if you're living in a household of two or more, you're a senior, 60 years and older, or you're disabled with proof, you qualify to register for groceries with Pastor Paul's. So be sure to call us at 612-521-4665. You can call Monday through Friday between 1 and 3, and you can register your household for groceries. Everybody needs help at some time or another, so don't be shy. If you need food, give us a call. We have lots of food. Wow, they are getting so much food in. Cases of portobello mushrooms. Yeah, can I hear an amen on that? Perfectly, really good, like fresh produce, all kinds of food. So be sure to give us a call and we will fix you up. And you can also, you can go to our online community at www.pastorpaul.org, where up at the top of the homepage, you're going to see links to our blog, Pastor Paul's blog, where you can actually leave comments for today's message. If you have a comment, a question, or a suggestion, go to the blog and leave that there. Or you can also send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. You can also see up at the top of the homepage, there are links to Flickr where you can share your photos. You can subscribe to our podcast. There's a podcast link. Shop. We're in the middle of putting our shop together. You'll be able to shop at Pastor Paul's Club. You can follow me. I'll follow you on Twitter. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. So be sure to check out those links at the top of www.pastorpaul.org. The comment line has changed. The new number is 612-521-4665, which is the mission number, Pastor Paul's mission. If you need to get a hold of me, you send me an email and I don't get back to you right away, just give me a call at the mission at 612-521-4665. Also, you're going to find links to the scriptures at the blog. So be sure to check out the blog. I've got the show notes there, which are just some links there, as well as scripture links. So that's for your convenience, so that while you're listening to Pastor Paul's message, you don't have to try to find the scriptures in your Bible. You can just, after the message, go to the show notes and check the links out. And also be sure to join us every Friday. New episodes next week, episode 76, Are You Alone in the Dungeon? Let's face it, we've all been there and we've all wasted time. These messages are for us. We are getting a lot out of them. This message today, I hope you get as blessed as I did. It's really good. And when you're done listening to the message, listen to Time Has Come Today again. We are living in that time now. God bless you and have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Friday.
brings us to Psalm 31:15. My times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. And I thought, you know, time. You know, people ponder it all the time, and they're trying to perfect it so it's down to a millionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, you know. And I thought, who has your time? And who directs our time? How are we spending our time allowance? We're all allowed. We have an allowance, just like you give your kids allowance. Here's your allowance. And so here's your allowance, and what are you going to do with it? It's up to you. You can spend it any way you want to. You are allowed time. And I thought, how are we spending it? Do we have time on our hands? Oh, that's dangerous when we got time on our hands. You remember that song, Time on My Hands, You in My Arms, Nothing in Sight, so on and so on? I thought, what an explosive situation. And I thought, our time is in His hand. And I thought, you know, each one of us is set. We have an appointed time, the Bible says. You're like little time bombs sitting here today. You're like little time pieces. And you're all ticking away. You don't know when your time is up. You don't know how God has set your time. You don't know that. That's your talent, your time. What did you do with your time? And what did you do with your times? My times are in thy hand. Because we all have an appointed time and it's going to run out. We don't know when. My times are in thy hand. And I thought, Lord, why don't you just give me one word? And I started watching TV then. And the Lord had given me this one word, ask. And I said, well, what's that mean? He said, ask a question. So many people give me the answer, and they claim this or that without even knowing, or prophesy to one another without even knowing what my will is. Their lives, ask me a question and I'll give you an answer. Or do you want to have your own time? Will you spend a little bit of time with me and just ask me some questions? I get so tired of talking to people and they've got all the answers. How about just giving me your time? My times are in thy hand. Ask me some questions. And so I thought, well, now if I tell anybody I just got that, they're going to say, well, that's nothing. Just sort of laughed it off. Ask. Oh, my. There's so many questions that we have to ask God. So I sat down and we went to a church. It was called The Vineyard. What was the fellow talking about there? Talking about the very same thing. What are you doing with your time? Not in exactly those same words, but it all boiled down to what are you doing with your time? Then we went home, and my mother had this channel on there. It's Channel 40, and it's a Christian station. We were watching that, and the fellow said that this is a fellow that had his whole head split open. He had died, been dead overnight. All of his blood was gone. And God took him up and brought him back. And he said when he got there, he said everything was by mind control. And he says, in the time that I was there, I probably asked 1 million questions. And I thought, praise the Lord. Because sometimes when you tell people by the looks on their faces, they discourage you. But, well, that's not a word from the Lord. You begin to wonder whether it is or not until God starts to build. Just like building a house, it's got to be built on the rock. And then it's built from there on. starts out with the main theme. Ask, ask, the Lord says. Ask me a question. Isn't there anything you'd like to know? Do you know it all? Don't you know the Bible says, my word says, be careful when you think you know everything, know nothing at all. Why don't you ask me so I can give you direction? My times are in thy hand. Plural, times. Good times, bad times, and hard times, and great times. Oh, that fellow's having a hard time. Well, that's just one of his times. Did he give that hard times over into God's hands? And then give God our good times, too. Oh, so many times we have such good times that we just get so filled up with good times that we fall off and we sin. We don't watch what we do, and we probably go to the wrong movies and read the wrong books and all that old kind of stuff, and we mix light with darkness because everything is going smoothly. And we get bored when things are going too smoothly. It's really the truth. Hard times aren't always the bad times. Sometimes the hard times make the good times look better. But then there's bad times. What I'm saying here is there's casualties, and the casualties in our lives are many. And they're called times. Isn't there a song? My time is your time. Wasn't that Rudy Valley or somebody like that? Now I wonder how many of us want our times to be God's times. Oh, if they are, they are exciting. Times. It's something you can't stop. I was looking at the album and looked in there, and here was a fellow with all his hair, looked like globs of grapes, and it was me. And I thought, time marches on, and so has my hair. It's gone. And you look in the mirror yourself, and there's a little wrinkle here and a little wrinkle there, and you're having problems with your weight because you're not using up as fast as you used to, most times because we're sitting down on our backsides. But anyway, time marches on. Pretty soon, everybody you talk to is younger than what you are. Did you ever try this? Did you ever try to close your eyes and see yourself? Did you know that you cannot see yourself as you really are? You cannot get your features just perfect. And you think, well, why can't I grasp what I really look like? And you have to run to the mirror, and you go away from the mirror, and you cannot get your features. You can get someone else's features. We're always good at seeing someone else, aren't we? But you try it. You cannot really see yourself as you really are. And I thought, well, how could that be that I forgot what I look like? Sometimes we have to say, praise God. But it's really the truth. Time is marching on and marching out and slipping away. Something that we can't stop. It goes on and on and on. Tick-tock, tick-tock. And every one of us has a little tick-tock. Aren't we? Little clock, little time element there. But if you listen real hard, you'll hear your life ticking by. But now then, let's turn our attention from the watch self, the clock self. Let's turn our attention then and surrender ourselves to our Maker, to the hand that's holding the watch. Because after all, your time is your life. And if you give your time to God, you're giving your life to God. It is it appointed once unto man to be saved? There's a time element. There's a time when we can move on things, when the Spirit of God quickens us. We put it off sometimes until tomorrow. My times, it says, thy hand, the watch, the hour have a purpose, and they're not in vain. God gives man permission to behold two things. There's the God's real way, don't you know? And it's made up of all of the ways of our lives. There is a way which seems right to man, but the end therein is death. There is a way. And if we don't give our time, our lives, our clock, our watch to God and put it in His hands, we're in trouble. So many are so wise in the Word of God that you think you're sitting with scholars when you go out to Perkins for coffee. Now, I find it in my own thinking, and I ponder it all the time. I sit all the time thinking about it. So many are learning God's ways without going their self or giving themselves over, let's say, to God so that He can watch their time. And they never, ever ask God questions. They quote God verses. Didn't you say in your word? That's like your kids when they blackmail you. You said, but then the situation has changed. Didn't you promise me that I could have that car? Well, I can't give you that car. You're an alcoholic now. You'll kill yourself. But you said, yeah, I know. A lot of times you can use the Word of God against God and say, but you said, thus saith the Word, but it doesn't apply to you just then because you're not in a position of receiving it. And so you have to give these times your life over to God, and then the time is right, He'll give that to you which you're supposed to have. Why are we so afraid of giving our time to God? And why are we so busy quoting scriptures to God all the time, telling, you said so? And then, haven't we all had this with our own children? But you said, you promised. I'm going to look at you. I can't give you anything in the condition that you're in. But God, you said if I would believe, I would be a great preacher of the word. But you're so puffed up now, you'd float off the stage, son. And there's a preparatory work. And there's a tearing down. And it's all got to be in God's time. I am thoroughly, and let you all your ears hear this, I am against the claiming ministries and the hyper-faith. Because it doesn't give your time to God. You just do what you want to and say, you said so in your word. And they don't give God the option of saying no. And they never ask God questions. Why does it say in your word, Lord? Why do you do it this way, Lord? Why am I suffering right now, Lord? How many are hearing this today? But His hand must hold all of our time. Sometimes we'll give God our bad times. God, help me, huh? But when we're having a good time, we don't want to give that to God. How many are hearing this? Isn't that true? Oh, it's so true. It's so true, true, true. And you know why I know that? Because I'm talking again about myself today. You never ask God questions. Never, ever, ever. How would you like to have a child that directed all of his own times? There's a lot of kids. You know what they call them? Spoiled brats. Don't they? And who has created those spoiled brats? Spoiled brats? Say amen. People that had their own way all the time and told their parents off and hated them. And then that's exactly what they reap back again. Say amen. That's the way it is, because you got to give your time. Parents, give your time to God. And let Him direct you on how you're to raise that kid. And I thought, oh, how we need to discipline our time. Oh, how we need to discipline ourselves and how we need a direction from our Father. How we need that direction. Time's a-wasting, they say, partner. Well, it's true. Time is a-wasting. Stop quoting scriptures to God. He knows the scriptures. But I find myself, I have a lot of questions. Ask. Ask and you shall receive what? The answer. No. Or yes. Or wait. Or silence. Can you live with silence? I noticed that the blowers went off. And all of a sudden, people said, what was that? Because they're used to a lot of noise. Get used to silence. That's part of time. Psalm 32 and 6 says, for this shall bring everyone that is godly. Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. So many times people are putting God off. There is a time of finding. I just read it right here. Now, if you were playing hide and seek with your kids, and you said, now we're playing hide and seek, and you heard them go out the back door, how long would you lay behind that couch? And then they come back in the house again, and they say, oh, we are there! And you've gone to work. And you come home and say, well, hey, you should have looked for me while you could find me. I had other things to do. So many times we put off God and we procrastinate. Tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. But tomorrow never comes. Huh? And God has moved on to someone else. And someone else has taken over the job because we procrastinated. Unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. A time when thou mayest be found. More time is wasted by undisciplined people. There is a right time to do things. Doesn't it say the time for war, a time for peace, a time for love, a time for hate? Time! By procrastination, by waiting until tomorrow, by holding on to our own little watches, our own little selves, by becoming our own authors. And when you're your own author, you are going to author confusion. How many know that? And Psalm 56 and 3 then says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I thought, there's so many people that aren't afraid of anything now. And people ask me, do you have fear? I say, you better believe it. Well, you shouldn't go ahead and confess that. People will think that you're faithless. I says, I don't think so. I think a person that's free from all fear is brutish and ignorant. Do you ever see a person that isn't afraid? Let's go in there and rip the place apart. Come on, guys. That's kind of stupid. I got faith, but I'm not going to run up one of these mountain roads or come down one of them at 100 miles an hour. Well, I'm not afraid of nothing. I am. I get on the roof, I hang on. I don't do any roofing, I just hang on. Praise God, I made it up there. But they're so afraid of a negative confession. But see, aren't we a men? Aren't we liable to overthrow? Are we not feeble? Are we not? I sat with a very, very wealthy congregation. And as I was sitting there, I thought, well, people have to learn on their own that we cannot direct our time. Well, this is going to happen next month, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And the fellow come over and sat with me. He says, I want to sit next to you. I want to get some counsel on this. Well, I said, one thing I'll give you counsel on. Listen real close. Don't be too sure of the time. Don't be too sure of the people all the time. A lot of times they're off. Your time is off. They're running slow or they're running fast. Or they're not running at all. Or their springs are popped out the back of their clock. Or they're all for looks. Huh? All kinds of cuckoo, you know what I mean. Oh, how we need a godly fear. All we need to say, oh God, things are running smooth now. My clock is tick-tock, tick-tock. Ya-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. But how will it do in the storm? Tra-la. Now will it do on the ship? Tra-la. And how will it do when it's persecuted? Tra-la. Well, it'll do just fine, sonny boy. If you give me your time, I'll take you through the storm, and I'll take you through the waves, and I'll take you through it. Not over it, not under it, not around it. I'll take you through it if your time is my time. I think we better start giving our time to God and be disciplined in our time and what we do with our time. Right now there is a move with the snake moving in with the cable TV and the satellites coming in and all this. I pondered, I thought, well, you get Christian TV, you could have the satellite. Well, the satellite brings in everything. And if you get the cable TV, then something else. You got to get Christian Network TV right here in the cities. You got to block all that other junk out, and you've got to stop Christians. Listen to me very clear. Listen close. Do not involve yourselves. Do not. Don't laugh at what I'm doing, but I'll tell you right now, do not involve yourself in getting caught up in these movies. Well, it's an X-rated, but they rated that way for violence. What's the difference? A man's head is split open. Do you want to see that? And then you've just witnessed to someone, or you preachers to the people, and he witnesses to them and all that, and then you go right and sit down, and they're looking at you in the movie like, oh, gee, the preacher's here, or the teacher's here. Must be okay. Look, and they're laughing. I guess it's okay then. And they go on to the next piece of junk. Your example is very important, so what are you doing with your time and their time and God's time? I tell you, it is dangerous. And there's so much that we can be doing with our time that God has allotted us, and you don't know. Time is running out. Listen to that. Can you hear it? It's running out every day. You're getting older every day. I got to preach every message like it's my last. Very well could be. I was thinking, a woman next to us said, how does this big airplane get up off of the ground? And I, by the grace of God, sister. Then it was warming up and getting ready, and it was one of these big DC-10s. And it was doing all of that screaming and burning up all that gas, and it hadn't even budged an inch. And all of a sudden, the brakes were off, and the flaps were down, and the people were buckled in, and it started going down the runway. And Mick said, this one's taking longer to get off the ground than the last one we got on. And it did too. All of a sudden, the grace of God, it tilted back. And it was gone. The next thing I knew, by the grace of God, over to our right, if you look out your windows, you're viewing the desert. And this is, if you look real close, you can see the dunes down there and so on like that. It's all by the grace. And you know, by the grace of God, you're breathing today. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you kept my breathing going through all of the alcohol that I consumed. And God help me never to ever do it again to cause someone else to stumble. What if in this church here, or the church that I was saved in, that they said, oh, hey, Christmas is here. Have a little bit of wine. It's good for your belly. I didn't hardly have any belly left. How could it be good for my belly? And I caused someone else to stumble. Is that love? Is that giving your time to God? No, that's indulging yourself. Oh, God. There's a time that we have to be a little bit fearful. I'm finding that faith and fear, they stand together. And also fear and love stand together. I'm talking about a redemptive type of fear. I'm talking about a godly fear. No, oh, I don't think we're too scared nowadays, ma'am. We just sit down, and I've heard some conversations. I thought, God, you just got no fear of the Lord here. Huh? Have no fear of the Lord at all. Did you read this book? It's all about monsters and ghouls. Well, I said, no, I don't want to read that thing. Why should I put an ungodly fear in myself? I have a fear of God, so I'm not going to read that thing. Otherwise, I become a nincompoop. I become a person that has no understanding at all. And it's so easy to lean upon our own understanding and justify what we're doing. We all have to have ourselves disciplined. Yes, we do. Chipped and chiseled and molded and broken and sandpapered on the inside and scrubbed out. Spanked to fit into God's plan and God's purpose. Well, a guy asked, what's the most important thing you learned of all the years of your ministry? I said, I learned how to listen. And I used to, when I first was saved, even up 6-7 years ago, they'd be at a table and then they'd ask all of these church people, now, what's your opinion? And then I'd pray, oh, God, give me the answer. But why did I want the answer? So I could show people how smart I was. Usually when I did that, I'd come up with something that was not even connected to what they were saying. And they kind of look at you like, well, he's spiritual, so that must mean something. I'll have to go home and figure it out. It didn't mean nothing. It wasn't even connected to God at all. It's a bunch of gibberish. So I learned how to say to people, I don't know. And a woman come to me and says, how come it is every time I ask you a question, you say, I don't know? Because I says, you ask dumb questions for one thing, and I don't know. Well, they were just stupid questions, you know what I mean? And you know what? I found out if you ask God stupid questions like that, you don't get an answer either. But I'm finding that every Christian must go through the fire. Yes, you're going to have to go through the fire. I don't want to hear this. My God, I knew I shouldn't have come this morning. So tired. Here I am with burnt tennis shoes. Do you tell me to go through the fire? No, you haven't gone through it. You're standing in the middle of it. See, if you just listen to God, you could get through it. But you're going to stand right there in the middle with one burnt hair and burnt tennis shoes, and that's it. Till you change. Say amen. You want to get out of the fire? You got to pass through. And you have to ask God for directions. Do you ever try to find your way in a fire? There's no exit signs. The smoke is all over. Huh? And all of a sudden, the fireman comes in. Give me your hand, damsel in distress. Huh? You got to call on the firefighter. You got to call on the Lord when the smoke is thick and everything is falling down and you're crying, your eyes are burning, and there's no way out. Oh, God, help, fire! You know, in the service, you used to say one way to empty your room is to yell fire. One way to fill it up is yell food. Do you know if you yelled fire in the mess hall, nobody would move? That's the way it is in a lot of churches. Nobody's moving. Fire's there, but nobody's moving. They're too busy eating and getting all this knowledge and spirituality and stuff. Huh? But they're not obeying the Lord with what they learn. You've got to have these baby Christians go through the fire. It says our God is an all-consuming fire. Our God, it says, is a jealous God. And I think there's a lot of changing the word to meet our own selfish desires. The Lord is my chauffeur. I shall not walk. All that kind of thing, a changing of the word to make it nice for ourselves. And we're not giving God our time. We're trying to figure a way around time. Isn't that the whole thing of life, trying to figure a way around time? We got so busy out there in California that the last day we had to enter in about 15 things all at once in the last hour. But it was disciplined time. And so everything was in order. And everybody that was to be there was to be there, was there. Because I said, Lord, I don't want this to be my time. I want it to be your time. And so folks got saved and things happened there. Whew. It's exciting. We met some people while we were there, and we said, God, it's your time. And we met some people, they were from Australia. And sitting in this hot tub there, you know, and I thought, isn't this something? Here we are out sitting out here in this hot tub out here. And, you know, birds and bees and cactus plants and flowers and all this kind of thing. And this guy come up, and I knew that the Lord had sent him over there. He was from Australia. And his wife. And so the time was now. And what did people say while they were all sitting here? What time is it? What time is it? Do you ever wonder how many times you look at the clock every day? What time is it? Do you know what time it is, sir? Huh? Oh, I have to be here, and I have to be there, and I have to be over there. But a lot of times, you know, when it comes to doing the Lord's work, there's always other things to be done. Like playing tiddlywinks or something like important, you know. But you see, People want the Lord to drive them around all the time from one thrill to the next thrill, over and over. They're driving and they're going and they're wasting time. Well, don't you just feel useless? I mean, being down there with on the north side down there, I mean, what? I mean, you know, do people really appreciate it? I says, I'm not worried about people. God appreciates it. And if God appreciates it, then people appreciate it. Well, are you really sure that people... I says, I'm not out for that. I'm not out for that. I'm out to do what God has told me to do. But don't you ever just get a desire to go, you know, off again and evangelize and stuff? No, I don't. Because you can evangelize right where you're at. So exciting to send a tape over to Africa and, you know, 5,000 people are listening to one tape every service. That's evangelizing. And people are going out and they're, you know, they have to break the word down. And they take them out to the huts and they take them out to the villages. And people get saved. So while you're down here, God's out there, and the work goes on all over. Doesn't depend entirely on one person. Oh, just think of all the TikToks would get together. Huh? Everybody was in time. Everybody, every clock and every watch and every cuckoo was all walking together. Think about it. All of the timepieces that there are that God could use for His glory, but some are sitting and they're on a shelf and they're all dusty. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, and they're next to a little monkey or something there. No? Tick tock, tick tock. And they're wasting time. Or they're in a little group and they're all talking. And furthermore, and then I think this. And then the thought did enter my head. What head? Huh? And they're wasting time. Did you ever see a person, you know, waste it? You know, they're trying to get out of something. Boy, they work harder trying to get out of something than if they did it. Really? Oh, gee. Can you take care of this? Well, I had to go over here, and then they go over here. Then they got to hide, and you got to see whether you're there or not. No, they waste their whole day, and they upset their clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock, and they're running all over, wasting time. And they got a million excuses. And God is saying, what are you doing with your time? You know what's wrong with them? They got time on their hands. You know why people sit in bars? They got time on their hands. Oh, God. Ooh, there's a lot of people. They solve every problem that ever was sitting in the bar. Tick tock, tick tock. Tick tock, tick tock. Huh? All these carpenters and all the new people listening on the radio to this tape, they're listening to this message right now, and you aren't born again, or maybe you are born again. You're sitting in a bar, or you're sipping on a beer at home. All you bankers and presidents and film heroes. That's what they are. As soon as they get drunk, they can handle anything. The best fighters, the best lovers, the best fathers, the best moms. They can do all things well through booze. Boy, I used to solve the world's problems every night, and they'd get in the same mess the next day. Now I had to go back in the council with all the other boobs in the bar. Now 1 o'clock, I'd stuff all the straw of self back in my body and I'd... Huh? I wasn't even smart enough to go home. They had to turn the lights on and off. They're all things I thought I knew. Now I readily confess, the more I know the less. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all, and ask God questions for directions. Don't tell, well, you said so in your word. Ask and I shall receive. But he said you didn't ask the question. What do you want? There is a question God wants us to start asking. Questions. God, should I go in this X-rated movie? Now, you know better than to ask that question because he'll send you home. God, should I read this book about ghouls? Well, we don't want to ask God questions. We want to give him the answers. Learn how to say, I don't know. I faced a generation in California that was trying to spend themselves. Every place you went, there was some place to eat. It's getting like that here, too, though. This place to eat, that this one had the bigger salad bar. Then they had the colossal salad bar. And everywhere you went, people were wasting time. They were like eating machines. Yum, 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 yum. And you go in the next place, and you look, and there was a bunch of people in there. This is gross. And one night I entered in and I ate until I had to carry my stomach into the hotel room. I really did. I had to walk up the steps backwards because it was bumping on my legs. That is the truth. But you know something? I found out something. The next day I said, no way, I'm not going to enter it. I'm not against eating. I mean, have at it. That ain't going to send your soul to heaven or hell. But I'm saying it was just a good example of wasting time. People, well, where are we going to eat now? We just got done eating, and they went, so what time is it? Time to eat yet? I said, God, no. I says, hey, I'm still suffering right now. I mean, it's piling up. It's going to come out my ears. And I thought, isn't that a waste of time? You get done eating and you start thinking about, guess where we're going to take you tomorrow? And I thought, this is as bad as alcoholism. Guess where we're going to go tomorrow? So instead of bar hopping, the Christians, a lot of times Christians, they cafe hop. You go in the cafes and there they are, munch, munch. And they got manies all over their mouth. Praise the Lord. Huh? And you go someplace else. And by the way, why are you going someplace else and seeing them all the time? You're the same kind of condition they are. But they make their decisions too. You know, they get all caffeined up and they get all hypered up and saladed up and everything. And then they get all this wisdom about what God is supposed to do. And I thought, oh, God, let me out of here. It's exactly how, you know why you felt uncomfortable there? Because you didn't belong there, that's why. One guy had a 30-ounce steak. Did you hear that? A 30-ounce steak, and then he left, and I said, well, brother, I says, no, I see you have a little doggy thing here. I said, you're going to give Fido some meat, huh? He says, no, there's some potatoes and beans left for Fido. I don't like to give him meat. He says, that's not good for him. Oh, very interesting. And I thought, what a waste of time. Then all the Christians got out into the parking lot and they stood there for a half hour, wasting time. They moved a little further and they did some more wasting time. Then they hugged each other and then they parted. And they come back and I thought they were dancing. And I thought, my God, I want out of here. This is a waste of time. So a guy looked at me, I says, you know the best way to say goodbye? He says, no, how? I said, goodbye. It's kind of like we think we're going to hurt each other's feelings if we don't hang around for 4 hours after we say goodnight. But there's so much manipulation going on. Manipulating. Wasting time with manipulation. Isn't that right? Oh, God, and the ungodly things you hear. And so I had to check myself, and I thought, my God, are you getting, Paul, you're getting so critical. What can they say? And I'm talking to myself and talking to myself and I'm going on and on and on. But I was still sat there, didn't I? And I still walked from one part of the parking lot to the next part of the parking lot. But I just had a word while I was out there. Not that I give out words, but I had a word. The way to say goodbye, Christian, is simply say goodbye. Drive off into the moonlight. Just drive off. Stop wasting time. So many people while we were out there were unemployed. In Australia, for instance, they work in some place, some people, in all the people, after the first year, they get a month off and up to 5 months a year off. And I thought, God, what would you do with 5 months off every year? I mean, you know, if you sat in the hot tub, you'd be about this big. And I said, well, what do you find goes wrong when people sit around like that? Production drops. When the people are up, things are up. Isn't that right? We've got to turn around. We think, well, you know, we're down because the interest rates are up. Get up! That's the time to get up and go to work and do more and bring them down. But yeah, he says, I have 5 months every year off to do as I please. Well, what do you do with all your time? Well, we travel. What a miserable life it must be getting on one train after another. Bags, check your bags. And checking your bags out. God, it took us longer to check our bags out than it did to fly here. I couldn't stand it. It's the truth, isn't it? And you're waiting for this wheel that goes around. Time, wasting time. And I thought, why don't these people get organized? We got up in the airplane. We stood inside for 5 minutes, wasting time. And people are going, what's the holdup? What time is it? And back and forth. See, that's how I get my messages, by just listening. And if you're really listening and you're real quiet, you know what you'll hear the most of? Your own clock. And so we waited and we got outside and we went down the stairs and we got in there and this wheel is going around. Huh? And forever and forever and forever. And finally, one bag comes down. Whoop. And then another one. Whoop, 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 whoop. And you know something? Nobody picked up those bags. They went around and around and around. You know where those people were? They were upstairs wasting time. They knew their bags were going to come out first. And they thought, oh, we're going to have to wait 50 minutes. We'll just go up there and waste some time drinking. And so they went up and they wasted time upstairs drinking up there. Finally, the bags came down. And I thought to myself about these Australians. They have to suffer like that with all that time off. Time on our hands. And they have to sit in these trains, check in their bags and check out their bags, and they're just doing nothing but looking tan and looking trim. But nothing up here, nothing in here. And we started to minister to them about the Lord and about different things, and they started getting filled up. They started to get an interest, and I got his name and I got his number, and I'm going to send him some tapes. first tapes I'm going to send him is the Slugger tapes. Then I'm going to send him the tape of today. Thou said, personally, stop wasting time. Get yourself saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and get out there. And if you have to sit in a pool, witness about the Lord. Take the message out. I'm closing now, but I noticed while they were taking these pictures, everybody out there is taking pictures. Stand over here. No, a little further over here so they can see where you're at. The San Diego Zoo. I wanted to cover that thing up. Isn't that right? And we went in the zoo in there and I got a message. I won't preach it today because that's another story about these monkeys up in there. How foul they can get. Oh my. Message after message after message after message. And I saw these people taking these pictures. And okay, stand over there, Charlie. And this big ape was up here, and he was looking down. I mean, he was big, he was born. And I thought, you know, that ape looks intelligent. And I was... It was funny because I was sitting next to a caged back end. It was up in here, and I thought, well, I'll sit up here and relax while I'm watching these apes. And I thought, God, I'm in a cage because the screen was in back of me. I thought, he's looking at me. But all these pictures were being taken all the time. And then I heard a person say, I never take a picture unless a person is in it. And I thought, why? Why do I always have to have people in there? And so they take their pictures and you look at them. Let's see your picture. And you know, here's all these beautiful flowers and these birds up there. All these beautiful long-beaked birds and everything, you know. You know what you see? Maybe one claw because they got Junior in the picture. And I thought, that's how self-centered we are. Why don't they have Junior pointing at the birdie? And explain a little bit about that bird and where it comes from and isn't it beautiful and look what God did and all this. And when they have all these flowers and everything, here is maybe just a little petal and there's someone's face in there. Huh? And I said, you see how off we are? All this beauty all around, but all we can see is ourselves. And I thought, why don't they back up and have someone say, behold God's beauty and look at all them flowers. I love flowers and stuff. Look at all these flowers, out of all the things I've seen out in California. A flower would always catch my attention. That's the littlest, could it be the littlest little bit of a flower? Are they, oh man, if they'd only open their eyes up. And here's this miserable little kid, hurry up, sucking on an ice cream, going, take my picture. Well, I would have just took the ice cream cone and put it on his head and took a picture of a flower. Because their kids weren't disciplined. Understand, in our country right now, we need to discipline our time and we need to discipline our selves, and we need to discipline our children. You understand what I just said? That people think their kids can do anything. Kid comes up, he's got jam and peanut butter all over. Hi! He rubs it all over you. Undisciplined. They don't want to take the time to, you know, so that people will love their child. How many heard that one? You on the radio, just listen to what I'm saying here. Isn't everybody going to like your children? And I don't care if they're 40 years old. We're just wasting time all the time. I'm closing. Let me read a couple of pieces of scripture here before we close. Ephesians 5 and 16 says like this, making the most of your time. Oh, listen to this. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. What are you going to do when you get out of church? Go home and lay on the couch? Oh, God, I thought that guy'd never get done. It was, geez, made me so mad. Huh? Isn't that the truth? My God, how we're so afraid of giving a little bit of time to God. We just hate to give time to God. Well, you listening on the radio, you don't even come to church. You just listen to tapes. Okay, let me finish. Making the most of your time because the days are evil, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And how do you understand what the will of the Lord is unless you ask a question? My God, you got to ask God questions. It's a two-way conversation, but He's got all the answers. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is a dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing melodies unto one another with your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There is the message. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How many are hearing this? Okay, now sit back and listen to the end here. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God even to the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Oh, not be subject to that. You're all subject to one another. We all are. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands also, to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. What did I just say there? If you find a person that doesn't love his wife, he doesn't love himself. Doesn't that say a whole lot there? Doesn't God love us as the wife, as the church? Oh my. Now here. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. And listen here now. And this is Colossians 4 and 5 and 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. Oh, God. How many foolish moves do we make to outsiders? Every time that we do something outside of the will of God, and that's because we don't ask God questions, every time we get in trouble, we get into confusion when we go on ourselves and say, my time is my time. And we get out and we get confused because it's not your time. You're a tick-tock for God, and your clock is winding down, folks. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. What'd you do with that opportunity? Did you just show them some old nasty book? Did you take them to some old nasty movie? Did you witness to them and then go to some kind of hard acid rock type thing? Making the most of every opportunity. Oh, if you want to be happy in the Lord, you got to get into the Lord. Though I know this is stirring rebellion from here to yonder. My God, it needs to be stirred up and kicked out. Reveal. All right. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Do you witness to somebody on your job, and then they find you laughing and carrying on, huh? Then did you see what happened on that program? That guy busted him in the face, and then this witch came over and she put a hex on him. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. You respond to each person a little bit different. Oh, God. And then in John 9 and 4, we must work the works of him who sent me, he says. Wow, isn't that great? We must, in red letters now, we must work the works of him who sent me. We. Jesus speaking. As long as it is day, night is coming, when no man can work. That's happening right now. There is going to come a time when they're going to padlock a church that is not defined after what the church says. A governing body says what a church is to be. And you won't even be able to come to church, but the church will be you. Okay, and then the last scripture here. And this is Proverbs 6 and 6, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. Having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer, and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? Will you rise up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond. And your need like an armed man. A worthless person, it says. A wicked man is the one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually, who spreads strife, therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken, and there will be no healing. Oh, I tell you, I have got a fear of the Lord. You know what my fear of the Lord is? To lose the anointing of God in your life. To not obey the Lord with what He has given you, no matter how simple folks think it might be. To go on with what God has shown you to do. Praise the Lord, and we all have that. Every one of us, my God, if someone comes up, stop nursing habits. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go another 2 minutes of your time. Don't nurse those habits. break the habit, stab the habit, jump on the habit, hate the habit, despise it, puke when it's mentioned. Are you hearing it? Hate sin. No matter what the devil tells you, don't lose your anointing. Don't give it over. Don't be a leper. Don't have to be so you have to walk downwind so people can stand the, you know, the stench of it. Guy asked me the other day, he said, should people who become Christians, should you see a change in their lives, or are they just Christians? I said, well, Christians change. And I think if they don't change, we need to hang upon them as it would be a leper and say, unclean. If we feel that way ourselves someday, hang a sign around yourself, unclean, not fit to live with. You ever have a day when you're not fit to live with? Oh my God, I do. How many of you had days you're not fit to live? Man or beast couldn't be around you. Then ask God the question, God, why am I this way? Because you tried to direct your own time. And when you got into a little bit of trouble in the time that you had allotted for yourself, for your own little selfish motives and desires and everything, you couldn't handle it. Now give me back your time. Today's message is discipline your time. Give your time to God. If it's a timely time right now. Now is the time. Now is the time to make up with folks. Now is the time to get your marriage together. Now is the time to say you're sorry. Now is the time to get busy for the Lord. Now is the time to stop doing those things that, you know, contradict your walk. Now is the time to love your wife. And so many husbands got wives. They're following the Lord and they do not appreciate it. They will not enter in. It's all over California. It's all over Minneapolis. Either the husband loves the Lord and the wife won't enter in. Or the wife loves the Lord and the husband won't enter in. And it's a tug of war. Listen, you husbands listening on the radio, you got a wife, lovely wife, loves the Lord. You better love her. There are scarcer than hen's teeth. Let me tell you, chickens don't have teeth either. It's really the truth. You got a wife that loves the Lord, you go along with her. You raise up all your kids and do your house and sing unto the Lord. My God, you should be the happiest man alive. Why are you sitting around like a total frump? My God, get it on. Say amen, somebody. It's the same way, the other way around. Isn't that? You get genuinely these people out there, well, I'm still praying for my wife. Says, give her to the Lord. Give her to the Lord. Don't give her to the prayer meeting all the time. Pray for my wife. Yeah, but give her to the Lord prayer meeting and then go on. You can waste a whole lot of time on folks that do not want to follow God. They are bored to death with God. They believe that, you know, that reptiles became reptiles and they crawled on their belly and then they crawled out and they come out of some kind of a monkey or something. If they want to believe that, my God, just let them believe it. You people that got halfway in your family, then go all the way to the Lord yourself. Don't worry about some half-baked Christian. My God, they're boring anyway. Say amen, somebody. They don't want to follow the Lord. Say, well, I'm gonna follow God. I'm going on, right? Well, we'll soon come along. You gotta show the way. It says compel them to come on in. A lot of times now, this sister was sitting right here and she says, you know, I used to kind of get at me sometimes. You go out and you compel people to get saved. And, you know, she said, and then you get people saved. And the word compel came to me and it came to her at the same time. She says, but then I found out the Bible says, compel them to come in. Do you know what that means in the original Greek? You grab them around the waist like a bag of spuds and you throw them over your back and you say, come on, you're going to get saved, fella. Right. That's what the devil does to them. Come on, you're going to the bar. You deserve it. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? And I'm serious today. I am so serious about following Jesus. My God. It's time we got serious. And people see we're serious about following the Lord, they're going to want, hey, these guys got something. Can't see it. Can't taste it. Can't feel it, but it's there. People just don't believe like that. That's what we have to start to do. Start to believe, see? Anyone here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior can have him today. And I'll tell you right now, as a personal witness, God can turn your life around. Maybe there's someone out there that just say, if that person got saved, and that's what they said about me. He said, you know something? Without our Noblis, when he's talking like that, it makes me believe in God. That is a vile man, a mean man, and a drunkard, and a louse. The truth. I almost got in a fight over that, but the, you know, I was a man because it was the truth. You make me believe in God. Later on, I thought, well, I was just a babe in Christ, you know. So you have that attitude. Put him up. Always was a nice guy. I bought you plenty of beers and stuff. Come on, huh? You know. But it's a compliment. It's a compliment. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? I'd like to have him today. Anybody? You can have him. You're listening on the radio or to this tape, you can have him. You want God to turn your life around as a witness. As a witness of what can happen. As a witness, I used to be so afraid. I thought, God, I'm going to get up and minister, and then somebody will come in that knows me. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I know you. I'm watching you. That cured it right there. Anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their Savior? Just put your hand, give up today. My God, I tell you, it's exciting following the Lord. It really is. I'm not talking about halfway following. I mean all the way. Jump in. Go all the way. And some of the husbands say, oh, I don't want to be like my wife. And she's praising the Lord, gets up in the morning. Praise the Lord. You know, just like God was right there. Well, he is. He's got mercy. He comes in the house while you're there. True. Anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus, is I'll pray with you right in your seat, right where you're at. Anybody? Are you all born again here? Are you born again, honey? Don't know. Well, then you aren't. And I'm going to pray with you people. And are you born again? Are you born again, son? No. Let's pray with you. Let's kind of just hold hands there. And we'll all pray right here together. Are you born again? Well, put your hand right up here. Praise the Lord. Say after me, say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Lord, give me a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved. And filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, huh? Woo! 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 Did all prayer just like this, and Mick and Alicia's family, I think it was at the funeral, at your dad's funeral. We had prayed that prayer had an altar call at a funeral, and they went out to California, and all them people that prayed at that funeral serving the Lord, aren't they? Whew. Isn't that right? See, it's a prayer that saves them, and it's a asking and a believing and a confessing with your mouth. Don't you ever for 1 minute, someone says you're born again, say, yes, I am. And you're born again forever. That's just like in the natural. Somebody comes along and say, oh, well, he was my kid, but he's no more. I don't see him anymore. He's just born again now as he ever was. He's just born as a natural, so is a spiritual. It's the same thing. Anyone else that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, you can have him today.